This is Will. He's our intern of sorts. And if you haven't had a chance to meet him yet, meet him. And next Sunday, he's going to preach for us. Woo. Looking forward. Would you pray?
Loving God in heaven, we thank you for this morning, this beautiful day where the sun shines upon us. And we pray that your sunshine upon this room right now. That the Holy Spirit fills it, that the Holy Spirit fills John, fills this congregation, fills all of us, so that we hear the word that you have told John to speak today. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, teach us your ways, let us walk in your path, be a light before us, so that we may go throughout this week serving you and learning and applying what we've learned today to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. And again, what we want to be doing here is thinking about what it means that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. In the early church, we realized that some radical changes took place in their lives because of Christ's resurrection, because of his ascension into heaven, and because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just a little background, we're going to begin reading at verse 24. But Cornelius, the man in the story here, had a vision to call for Peter, to send that Peter would come and share the gospel. Peter, too, at the same time, was having a vision as well. Remember that story of Jesus, of Peter seeing a sheet filled with unclean food? That is, that wasn't kosher. The Jewish folk wouldn't be eating that food, and God declares it clean, and Peter right away says, "No, Lord, I've never touched my lips to anything unclean like that." And then what God has declared clean, you must not call unclean. He was wondering about the meaning of that vision. In fact, it took three times for Peter to have that vision to begin wondering about it. The servants arrived. They told Peter about Cornelius, that is, Cornelius's servants arrived. And together they went into Cornelius' home, and this is where we begin reading at verse 24 of chapter 10. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up and said, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation." But now Peter got the lesson. "God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simeon, or Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. But they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge." of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. We end our reading right there. Oh, the things we expect. We expect tomorrow morning to wake up, go to work or look for work, eat a meal or four, if the Campins get to the grocery store. We expect certain things in any one given day. As folk who live in West Michigan, we expect that everybody around us is going to be excited that spring is here. Normal parts of normal days. And as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, there's some additional expectations. Just as normal, just as common, just as certain, God will work in my life each day. God will work in my life each day. That's something that we should come to expect. We are and will be changing. He will not let us stay comfortable with old habits and superficial or unkind ways of relating with others. He calls us to obedience. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, just like going to work, we can expect that God's going to work in our lives today and tomorrow. Number two, God will use us in other people's lives. The gospel of peace will be proclaimed. Our families, friends, neighbors, even strangers will be impacted by what we say and by what we do. Christians come to expect that. Three, God wants to teach me something each and every day. By his word and spirit, he will help us know him. He's preparing us for what's coming. He's equipping us for our next assignment. We confess that the risen Lord has taken up residence in our hearts. He lives. And you ask me why I know he lives? Answer it. You got it, right? We confess that to one another. We have his very presence with us, Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. Again, Heidelberg Catechism, question 47, the answer is this: in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, Jesus is not absent from us for a moment. That's a double negative. Did you notice that? Not absent from us for a moment. That means he's with us always. Because of this tremendous truth, because we're on this adventure of following Jesus, here's some things we've come to expect. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are and will be changing. Last Sunday night, we dealt with the big C word. We're continuing it here this morning. We are and will be changing. In this passage, we see resurrection boldness. Peter, who just a short time before had denied knowing Jesus, had grown in his faith, was now the leader that Jesus called him to be. Things changed in Peter's life. Peter knew who he is. Cornelius, in verse 25, fell at Peter's feet in reverence. Peter wanted him to know that there was not a special thing in himself, only in his message. Peter was well aware that he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a messenger of the risen Lord. Things change. Peter was willing to learn and to change. If you have your Bibles, look at verse 28. He said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." Jesus Christ had shattered all Peter's expectations. Beyond anything he could have hoped for. Initially, it was described as disbelief for joy. Everything is new as we serve a risen Savior. So when Peter began to hear of the international significance of the gospel, it was not too much to grasp. It wasn't new, brothers and sisters. We need to know that. What Peter was getting his mind around wasn't like it was a brand new thing. Do you remember God's call to Abraham? All the nations of the world will be blessed through my seed that comes after me. And that prophecy was fulfilled. That covenant was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So what Jesus proclaimed, and now what the Holy Spirit is teaching the disciples of Jesus, this truth that it's not just for the Jewish people, it's for the whole world. This gospel message is for everyone. Peter could get his mind around it because then he could begin to see how Scripture had pointed to it all along. Here's a man who was steeped in tradition. His mind was stuck on certain things. Here's a man who was stubborn. Remember Peter all his days? If you want to know something more about Peter, you can look at the Gospels. Mark is a good one that describes Peter's stubbornness over and over again. That was his character trait. That's who he was by nature. But in this passage, we see a man being stretched to grow and learn and willing to change under the direction of the risen Lord. And ultimately, Peter was obedient. Remember when Jesus stooped to wash his feet, he said, "Never, Lord, no, don't do it." Well, this same Peter in Acts 2 is up to the same things. In the vision, in Acts 10, it says, in the vision, Peter said, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And he said it three times. "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." But here's one who was the same in some sense, but his character trait and his intellect were being molded and shaped by the risen Lord. And one who had learned to obey and to follow. And so in this case, he does as well. Look at verse 33. Cornelius thanked Peter for coming. He knew a vision from God had arranged the whole encounter, but he thanked Peter, who could have been disobedient. Has your life changed? Is it changing beneath the rule and reign of God? Are you ready to step out? No matter what that stepping out may entail, the changes that will come from it, the step of obedience that God's calling you to, the struggles that may come from it as well. I trust that you, like Peter, are willing to step out, because we've come to expect that, haven't we? That God's going to change us. Peter, second thing, the good news of peace will be proclaimed. It's the resurrection message. It's what we talked about last week. There's a well-meant offer of salvation to all people. Christ's mighty works. We tell people about what he does. We tell people about the death he died. We proclaim his bodily resurrection, how he ate and drank following the resurrection. And the commission that we've received to bring good news of peace, that Christ is the righteous judge. This is the good news of peace. Forgiveness is offered to everyone who believes in him. The gospel is a message filled with hope. It's a message that God still uses to change lives. So we're called upon to proclaim it, to teach it, to live it. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit comes and works in people's hearts. Stop and dwell on that for a minute. The Holy Spirit is at work in your heart right now. He's at work in my heart. The message came through the people of Israel, but it affects all peoples of the earth. God does not show favoritism. By the Holy Spirit's work, many from all nations are drawn to him, and the Holy Spirit prepares people. There's no clearer evidence than here in this chapter. God worked in Peter's life, preparing him to bring a message. You can see it, the vision that he had three times. God was preparing him. Back further, the whole event surrounding the death and resurrection of Jesus, his own denying knowing Jesus, his walking with Jesus as a disciple, his seeing the things that Christ did became examples to him. God worked in preparing Peter's life to go into the home of Cornelius. There's the name. I was going to say Nicodemus all of a sudden. Where did that come from? To Cornelius. And God was at work in Cornelius' life as well to receive the message. He was a devout man. He was God-fearing. He left his paganism and started to be a proselyte in the Jewish faith. And he realized more and more that as he prayed that there's something good news of Jesus Christ that he needed to hear as well. And he left behind that and he ran to the Savior. God was at work preparing Cornelius. God was at work preparing Cornelius to receive. He was at work preparing Peter to tell. Verse 33, I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord. What a thing. What an opportunity. The Holy Spirit shatters our expectations. If you have your Bibles, look at 44 and the verses following. God worked in a miraculous way in the lives of Cornelius' family and friends. Through Peter's obedience and proclamation, the Holy Spirit convinced them of the truth, and they believed and received the Holy Spirit. Now, it didn't go as planned. And brothers and sisters, as we follow Jesus, our resurrected Lord, don't expect everything to go as planned. Our plan is you believe the gospel, then you repent of your sin, then you're baptized and in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit's indwelling power comes on a person. We have the order right now. Uh-oh, that's not what happened here. It's just the opposite of that. The Holy Spirit came, and then they said, well, maybe we should baptize these folk. Yeah, what a thing. To take any one of these accounts and acts and make them normative is to ignore the others and miss the way God works. Through the gospel proclaimed, God will bring people of all nations to himself. And in it all, it is the Holy Spirit at work. Who are we to oppose God? That he should only work in one way within our own comfort zones. Brothers and sisters, are you expecting these kinds of things to happen in your life tomorrow? God is changing you. God is using you. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. So don't be surprised if tomorrow someone at work says to you, you know, I know that you're a Christian and I've started reading the Bible. I'm wondering if you could come over to our house tonight, because my whole family wants to learn about Jesus. After you pick yourself up off the floor, you're going to say, yes, I'd love to come. I'd love to come and share what Jesus Christ has done for me. Is that too much to expect? No, it isn't. In fact, we ought to start expecting it, because that's how Jesus is working. Let's pray. God, we'll trust that you will do that work in people's hearts all around us. And whether it's having a whole family over to hear the gospel or speaking one-on-one with someone we know and love, God, you're going to prepare us to share all it is that you've done for us. We think of the man who was released from the legion of demons, and you simply told him to go back to his house and tell all that the Lord has done for you. Lord, we want to be that kind of people who tell all it is that you've done for us. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.